With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit realitycheck.radio/donate.
Time for another Tech Tuesday, because guess what? It's Tuesday. And Stephen Sykes is back with me. Stephen, good to have you back on again.
Thank you. How you doing?
Good. I don't know if you're going to be reading this out, but I did see, I think it was a Facebook comment under the little tile that promotes this program on the RCR Facebook account that said, my fave program.
Well, who am I to argue with that person?
I'm not going to argue. No. But I thought that was pretty cool. So
thank you for that.
Yeah, program.
It's good to know we're on target.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's only one person, mind you. But
there's two of us here, isn't there?
Right. Okay, so we've got some stories to talk about. First of all, though, as we do now, more feedback on the back of that. What has been coming through?
So it seems like I've inadvertently pushed a button from Blue Shield, who sent me some feedback, and they write, in reply to your comment on Blue Shield devices only working initially, I can only assume whoever made this odd claim has no idea how Blue Shield works. We have the only EMF protection devices to have had a 3-year independent study conducted. The results are impressive and is currently under review by a prominent medical journal. The study concludes that Blue Shield devices are feasible, safe and associated with improvements in cognitive function, sleep, heart rate variability, voltage-gated ion channel gene normalization, blood glucose, immune response, and overall self-reported health among relatively healthy adults. It also emphasizes that the devices appear to be a reasonable component of a comprehensive EMF mitigation strategy, which is always how we encourage people to use our devices. Please do not report any further false information on air without a basis of truth and fact. I can only conclude that you didn't quite listen to what I said, because if you go and listen to the replay, I never said the device stopped working. I said that these two people stopped feeling the positive effects. So it's not false information to report on someone's experience when that report is accurate. What I didn't mention is that these two people are both EMF sensitive, so they are unwillingly the canary in the coal mine. If there's EMF radiation around and there's a lot of it, they'll feel the effects. And I know for these particular people, it tends to be headaches is what they experience. I also didn't mention that these two people are actually trained as EMF specialists and do testing for people, and I can confirm that at least one of them has training from GeoVital. So you also don't need to know how to use, as far as I can tell, a Blue Shield device in order to get benefits from it, in the same way that you don't need to know how an internal combustion engine works in order to drive a car.
Okay. All right.
And also they had purchased these Blue Shield devices a little while ago, some time ago, and since things go through revisions and improvements over time, as everything tends to do. Maybe if they had purchased them again more recently, for them, and I'm talking about for them, I'm not talking about anybody else's experience, just theirs, they might continue to feel long-term benefits.
Okay, well, that sort of gets that out of the way. Can I ask a dumb question just to remind me, who exactly are Blue Shield again?
They're a New Zealand-based company that have come up with a device for mitigating against all the EMF smog that we are living in. Yeah.
Well, that obviously got to them. They found out somehow that you'd been talking about them.
Well, I guess they listened in.
That's the stunning thing.
That's the stunning thing.
I think we've learned something today, as well as you having the opportunity to flesh out what was going on there, let's say. All right, we have more incomings.
You do. Hi to the amazing RCR team. Would it be possible for you to investigate the cameras at the self-service tools at the Mount Eden Dominion Road Countdown store? They are fixed on our faces. We could see our faces in full colour on the screen in front of us. Yet apparently they are called scan to assist, quote unquote, technology to detect items not being scanned. Apparently, we have to take their word for it that they are not recording our faces or the pin pad, and they are only interested in items slash stock. I saw no notices about these cameras and have no idea what is being recorded. I would assume if they are recording our hands, they would have to record our faces to identify our hands. And what happens to these recordings? I wonder if these are a trial, as I haven't seen them anywhere else. Yeah. I've not come across ones that actually scan your face, but you know those self-service checkout kiosks you see in lots of supermarkets these days?
Use them.
Yeah, if you look in the middle, they tend to have a camera in there, and they are watching you as you scan them. If you don't want to be scanned in that way, then either don't use them and go use a checkout operated by a person and help keep that person employed, or you could always not smear Vaseline on the camera. I'm not saying that you should, but I'm saying you could. And that will make things difficult for the camera to observe. But I think, and this I've done this myself, and if you're feeling brave, you could go and have a conversation with somebody and ask all these questions that you've just asked.
Yeah, but who?
And it's like,
who? You're going to have to find. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, 18, 19 sums hanging around, but they can't give you any answers.
Exactly. So what I've noticed when I've done this, they can't answer the question, so they'll go and ask a colleague who also doesn't know. So there's now two more people, at least, working in the supermarket who didn't know about this issue in the first place, but now they do because I said it. And then you work your way up the food chain, excuse the pun.
Yeah, well, that's ideal place to do it.
Ideal place to do it until you can get to somebody who can actually give you some answers. And maybe
someone in the back room looking at the screens, is that who you mean?
Store manager may not have any idea about why this is a problem, but if you don't start having conversations with people and asking some hard questions, this stuff continues.
Well, you've just reminded me once, and I didn't do this on purpose, I was just engaged in a conversation, text conversation on my phone as I was checking stuff out at one of those self-checkouts, you know? Mm-hmm. And I literally walked off without doing the, you know, the paying bit.
The important bit.
The thing is, though, they were on to me after my second step away. They knew immediately that I had not done that. And they were intercepting me before I'd even turned around and really got a step away. So that's how closely the monitoring is, surely.
Yeah. And, you know, and that was completely innocent. You know, you were just distracted.
That's right. And they kind of knew that too.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
they were onto it. The other thing is those things seem to read weight incredibly well and always throwing up a problem if there's an imbalance between one side and the other, you know? It starts saying, something's come out of, you know, it's got a default thing that it tells you. So I don't think the opportunity to rip them off, you know, in any sort of big scale way exists there. So why are they looking at you?
Because they want to make sure, I mean, I think they're doing this just for the minority of people who are naughty and who do steal stuff and who do try it on.
Okay.
Which to me seems overkill. I mean, these systems cost a lot of money, right? So you're spending massive amounts of money to try and solve what is arguably a fairly small issue, because most people don't steal stuff. Most people, you know, don't do that. The occasional person might wander off and forget to pay, and that might be legitimate. But for most people, I think this is all upside down.
Well, if you want to build a database of faces, that's a way of doing it.
Oh, there's plenty of opportunities for that, isn't there?
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, what else?
This one's kind of funny. Somebody writes in and says, pretty much everybody produces the word as Paul does. Basically, the pronunciation router calls to mind, quote unquote, one who roots, which these days tends to be interpreted not in a gardening but a sexual sense. Well, actually the networking hardware router comes from Rhodes. So you remember the old movie Route 66?
Yeah, yeah.
You have a road network which creates routes from point A to point B and C for a car. So a network router does the same thing, but not for cars. But
no, I get it. But you know, in the States, okay, it's Route 66. But if they're telling you, you know, to go a particular way, they'll say you got to take that route.
And do they?
They do.
Oh, English is such a funny language.
It is. It's a funny thing. I don't know why there's a difference there. I can probably guess. But I don't know. I don't know what the rule on that one is.
I've just always been taught that a router is a woodworking tool.
I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'd say, you got to take that route. And you say, what do I need a woodworking tool for? I need to get somewhere.
In case you come across a tree on the road.
Okay. Next, please.
Next. So someone asks, just wanting to throw a potential can of worms, a question into the mix for Tech Tuesday. Do you think that mobile phones were introduced with nefarious intentions to track us, monitor our conversations, allow tech companies to sell our data, gets us so used to carrying and charging an electronic device that we buy into digital currencies, IDs, and the push to make us hackable beings and cyborgs? Or did these tech giants just happen to stumble upon these things later on? My personal opinion is that it's the second one.
I agree with you. Yeah.
They figured this out later on. You know, it's feature creep, right?
Well, probably there was always in the thinking there needs to be some device. There needs to be something that links you to whatever. And, you know, before smartphones, there were probably all sorts of ideas on what that could be, like a, you know, something to carry or a chip or a card. But it just so happens, you know, Apple sort of did the job for them, right?
Yeah, and a lot of that technology has existed already. The only difference is people figured out how to make it smaller. If you've watched 2001 A Space Odyssey and the astronauts are sitting around having breakfast and they're watching the news on tablets, on benches, and if you're aware, this movie came out before the 1969 moon landing.
Yeah, 68.
So, 68, yeah. And in the movie, one of them is talking to his daughter back on Earth. So that there's
Alpha's. Yeah, but they're in a booth, right? So
they are, yes.
Yeah, so they didn't quite get to the personal concept. Screen, did they?
They didn't show that in the movie.
You had to go into a room or a comms place or something. What we have goes one step further than that because it's with us. It's on us all the time.
Yes. Although imagine these days if you want a private conversation, you go to the toilet and have it in there.
Even then.
The walls have ears. Even
then. Yep, exactly. All right, any more? Right.
Yeah, last one. So somebody writes in to says, I am totally confused on where to begin to de-Google, for want of a better phrase, our technology at home and checking out VPNs, new email providers, mobile phone providers. Would love a cheat sheet. Have no idea how it all relates. In addition, we will need to have it all work in a mobile situation as we are relocating to the South Island. We'll be living in a motorhome in the interim. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
I'll do one of those. The cheat sheet, I mean. Watch this space.
With Starlink and stuff, you can be anywhere now, can't you?
You can be anywhere, yep.
So that solves that?
That solves that, yes. The price is still going to come down a lot. I mean, it is getting cheaper and these sorts of things do all the time, as we know.
Well, he can amortize over the population of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's our feedback for the week to 2057 and inbox at realitycheck.radio. Feel free to email the show and the traffic will be directed, routed to Stephen Sykes. Let's check out a few of the news stories out there. Where do you want to start? What about the story from the UK? Experts warn your smart doorbell camera could see you fined £100,000. What's all that about?
Well, there's a homeowner who now faces the prospect of paying out said amount of money to his neighbour. after a judge said the owner had breached the 2018 Data Protection Act and the UK GDPR rules. So basically their camera was inadvertently looking at the neighbour as well, and the neighbour took exception to it.
Okay, inadvertently though, that's kind of innocently done, isn't it?
Yes, but if you're not taking steps to, like, you know, if you want to use these sorts of things, you make sure that it's only looking at your property and not other people's properties.
Okay, so that's just a warning. It's not that the neighbor's been stung for 100K.
Yeah, but it's like, pay more attention to what the technology that you are using is doing.
But this is the thing, when technology becomes a mass product, people don't think it through like that. They just, oh, yeah, put it in, all right, okay.
Yeah, I wish they would, but okay. They don't.
They don't. All right, so there's that story. Oh, yeah, I was wondering when we're going to get to this. New Zealand media hackers directly targeting individuals after alleged data breach. That's with MediaWorks, right? And I think it involved databases of people. I don't know who these people are who write into these shows. Really? Is that what floats your boat? Whatever. But it involved a lot of people. And how significant is the data?
Well, if you read various articles, they say things like financial details such as card numbers and passwords are not believed to be affected. Now, even if that statement's true, it shouldn't bring consolation to anyone. We should all be spitting bricks about this, because if you consider the information that could be known about a person as a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, and the metadata.
And the metadata. So all the pieces of information of your jigsaw puzzle could be pieces of information about you. So the information that did get taken from this breach, you might go, okay, well, that's nothing terribly significant. But actually it is. Things like names, date of birth, and addresses will help identify you. And even if there is no financial details about this, then this is not the first, and sure as sugar won't be the last data breach to ever occur. So you take the information from one data breach, marry it up to that's existing in another data breach, and all of a sudden you're starting to learn a lot more pieces about an individual's jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, so if I voted for something on the block, because I think that's what one of the programs the leak involved.
Yes.
And I voted for a particular couple who had done a particular thing with their house, like a style of building or a material, you could figure that, if we were ever going to sell these people any DIY or anything like that, it would probably be bricks, let's say, because they voted for them. I don't know, it's a bit of a stretch, but you could extrapolate those preferences from that.
Yeah, yep, that's exactly right.
I know it's a bit far-fetched sounding, but...
It's not.
Yeah, okay. They also said that, and I'm not reading from the story, it's a story I saw on this a week or so ago, when they were saying, you don't need to worry now, we've put it all on a secure server, which suggested to me that before it wasn't on a secure server. Is that what you're telling me? So obviously you didn't tell people, or you weren't enough upfront to tell people that when they're voting for the block, their data is not on a secure server.
I read that statement too, and I thought, I had exactly the same thought. I had exactly the same thought. So, like, you're admitting that where it was stored before wasn't secure. So if I've been saying a lot about using different ways to, you know, protect your data and using things like email aliases and other things to help segregate your digital footprint from one place to the other. And later on, we'll talk more about today about avoiding trackers. But if you've got any fake friends you've ever kicked to the curbside because you realize they're fake, what you need to do is get them back, apologize, and go, I know you're a fake friend, but I need to learn how to be fake in the digital realm, please. I need to be fake.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, what machine was it hosted on? One of the office PCs or something?
Who knows? And then the cleaner walks past with the memory stick, plugs it in, and sucks all the data off.
Yeah. Oh dear. And does that sort of thing end up on the dark web? Because I think you're going to talk about that maybe next week.
Yeah, spoiler, sweetie. So next time we will talk about the dark web and address a lot of the misconceptions that people have about it.
Okay. Now, Serco ordered to stop using facial recognition technology to monitor staff. This is a Guardian story. So what have they been doing here? I believe it involves more than 2,000 staff at 38 leisure centres.
Yes, they've been unlawfully processing data that they've been collected and been collecting around facial recognition technology at all of their facilities. So the watchdog has found they were being a bit naughty and they were using it to monitor staff, and staff weren't provided with any kind of opt-out. It was like...
This is always the story, isn't it? They're always sneaky.
Which is why, like when we were talking about the person who wrote about the cameras and countdown, you need to have conversations with people, because if you don't, then people just see these things, accept it as something that's changed, and carry on.
Yes, I hear it all the time.
That's it.
Yeah, but even then, really, does it make any difference? I know I'm sounding a bit defeatist there.
You have to start somewhere. I mean, and the crazy thing is that Serco said that they introduced it nearly 5 years ago.
Well, that makes it all right then.
No, they did it to make clocking in and clocking out easier and simpler for colleagues.
Oh, convenience. There we go.
Yes, there's that convenience word. Like, you spent how much money on facial recognition systems just to make clocking in and out easier? Come on, pull the other one.
Oh, clocking in and out so much easier now. It's so good. Yeah really?
You can see me.
That convenience thing, that's the alarm bell. Whenever anyone says it's convenient and hassle-free, the alarm bells are ringing so loud now.
And you need to ask the question, what am I giving up when this happens?
Yeah, convenient for who? Yeah.
Yes.
This is the mother of all leaks this week anyway. 43 million workers potentially affected in travail data breach.
Yeah.
43 million.
That's a lot. That's they are a French National Unemployment Agency.
Well, that's all right then. It's people that are unemployed. I mean, they can't buy anything.
Well, this is actually an employment service for people with disabilities.
Oh, dear. Oh, take that back.
Yeah, maybe. You should take that back. So it's got the usual information, the full name, date of birth, social security number, with NIR as they call it, their travail identifier, email address, postal address, telephone number, all the usual stuff. And unfortunately, it's not the first time that it's happened to this agency. Last time it affected 10 million people.
Oh, okay. Only 10 million then.
Yeah, so like pretty much double our population.
Yeah, so what do you do with that information, do you think?
You profit from it. If you're the one pinching it, you sell it.
I wonder what it's the feelings like when, you know, your hacker. It must be like picking a safe or something. When your hacker gets in, it must be like a euphoric moment.
Yes. Indeed it is. There was a TED talk I watched.
You're not speaking from experience, are you?
No, I'm talking about someone else's experience, although I have, for legitimate reasons, had to do similar things. But there was a TED talk by a woman who did say exactly that. It was such a rush to break into these sorts of things. I mean, there are ethical ways of doing this. You can say, hey, I've broken your system. Here's what's gone wrong with it. Here's what you need to do to fix it, and then hopefully you get listened to.
Yep. I had a situation once where I had a business falling out. This is 20 years ago. And the people who were trying to rip us off were emailing each other and didn't realize that we were still in on that email group. So for about 2 months, we could see everything they were saying about us. Of course, we never said anything. We just sat there. But travail means painful or laborious effort, by the way.
Ah, right, yes.
I don't know if that's what it means in French, but that's what it means in the – I've just looked it up. Okay, so that's a big one. All right, let's move on to more on tracking. I think we were talking email last week, and you know that little sneaky little pixel that goes in the graphics that gives them the information that your email, their email's got through, and you've opened it. So we got that far.
We did, yeah, the old tracking pixel. So a lot of mobile applications have trackers built into them as well. They can show up as malware and steal your data and often display annoying ads. And if you might think, oh, that's just Google devices. Well, not really, because more recently, Apple's own App Store had a fake LastPass application in it until, and it was removed. But LastPass, if you know, is a password manager, and it's all in the name. LastPass is the last password manager you should ever consider using, given the number of times that's been compromised. But moving forward, there is something you can do to make this less of a problem. If you are using an Apple phone, they have a feature called App Tracking Transparency, which is typically on by default. And if you go to your settings and your privacy checks, make sure that allow apps to request to track. If it's turned on, which will request your permission to track, but if you turn that off, they are automatically denied. There's also privacy labels in the App Store and the Play Store that tell you which information applications collect about you and whether it's linked to your identity. And then you can check the permissions that an app will request by looking at the app privacy report if you have a suitable version of iOS on your phone. What Android people have is that they can go look up a thing called an Exodus report. Android people.
Get real.
So Exodus, X is spelled E-X-O-D-O-S. If you look that up, you can type in the name of an app and it will give you a list of all the permissions the app wants to use and any trackers that are known about. And you can discover some very interesting ones that monitor the way you use an app, and they tend to phone home with some of the things that you've been doing. That said, if you look up the Facebook app on the Exodus site, it shows no known trackers. Well, that's just trackers that it knows about, and we are fully aware that Facebook has a plethora of ways to track you, and they have their own trackers built into the system as well.
Okay, yeah.
So you can, you can sort of do so much. But if you install on your Google phone the Aurora Store, it's a way of getting into the Google Store without necessarily using a Google account, and it's there by default on the Google phones. You can type in any app, and it will give you this report, and you can read it before you go forth and install. So you can
And install,
said the king.
And it's supposed to be multiply, isn't it?
See, go forth and multiply.
We certainly need to do that now, because the birth rate's falling like crazy.
It is a bit.
All right. We're going to talk a bit more about email?
No, we're going to go talk about tracking devices. So you may have heard about Apple's AirTags. So they sound like a pretty cool thing. So you attach them to things like your keys, your wallet, suitcase, or anything that could potentially get separated from you, especially when traveling, because you can track them and locate them if it does go walkabout. But unfortunately, AirTags have been used by thieves and stalkers. So what they do is they get one of these AirTags and they stick it in your belongings, or somehow slip it into your pocket. So it's kind of like the reverse of pickpocketing. You put something in someone's pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And you can track a person. So or a thing. So like if a car thief likes your car, they find a way to stuff one of these trackers somewhere in the vehicle, and then you drive home and then they come and pinch it later on.
Right. You don't need to really go and do it now. You can do it when at your convenience.
Still at your convenience. There is a way to mitigate this. Apple has an update on iOS to tell you if there's an ear tag that appears to be moving with you. So
if you've got, okay. Yeah.
If it's an ear tag that It doesn't know. If it doesn't recognize and there's one going with you, goes, hang on a minute, there's something, we've got a Klingon here.
Klingon, literally.
And quite literally, it's traveling with us. You might want to know about it. And you can often get them to make a sound effect so you can help physically locate the thing. And they also tell you when the owner has been separated from the AirTag for a number of hours. Now, on Android phones, you can install an app called AirGuard, and then you turn it on, and it will scan everything around you, and it will locate Apple AirTags and anything else. So it's another way of discovering what looks normal to you for your environment. If you've got AirTags showing up around you, like, well, hang on, I don't have any AirTags.
Yeah.
Why are there AirTags in my vicinity? Is it mine or is it someone else's that's nearby?
I don't know if I can cope with all of this, you know. It's like it just comes from all angles. It's relentless.
Well, like with anything that ever gets invented, we've talked about feature creep. You remember what feature creep was?
Yeah, well, I kind of think I know what it means. Yeah, yeah. You start with one set of features and you build out from it, right? Always selling the convenience.
It's not necessarily features. This is that when something gets created to, in inverted commas, solve a particular problem, somebody later on goes, hey, we could also use it for this.
Yeah.
So when we were talking about, you know, cell phones earlier on, and, you know, we had the opinion that it was something they figured out how to do later on, it's like, what could we use to possibly track people with? Oh, wait, how about phones?
How about that invention? Okay, we're coming up against time. One thing that we didn't have in the notes, but we did have last week on our Bytes News on Friday morning, was the story of the GCSB and a report by whoever monitors them, a chap called Worsley. Anyway, he said, and it was in the news last week, that they had put software on their system, the GCSB, which allowed a foreign state to spy using it without the knowledge of the senior control, administration, management, whatever, of GCSB, and that it had been there for like years and years. So, you know, I mean, that sounds kind of dumb from a national security point of view, you'd think.
It also sounds like being caught with your pants down a bit. Like, uh-oh.
Well, we were doing the outsourced spying, weren't we, for certain people?
Yeah, because we're part of the Five Eyes network.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're, let's just say, wanting to monitor anything to do with the Trump campaign, and you can't be the agency, the US agency, monitoring your local people because that's illegal, then you would put that out, distribute that out to Five Eyes, and you might want to put a bit of software on somebody's system to enable that. But hang on, the management and therefore the minister and the whole chain of command isn't even told. So, you know, when we're talking about IT, we shouldn't forget that there are state actors here who could get us into trouble.
Absolutely. And this is not new in the sense that when there was a particular country, known country, was going around trying to set up spying on other countries, I'm downplaying this and simplifying this in a big way. So they'd say, okay, we want to spy on this country, and that particular country will say, yep, that's okay, but don't you use it to spy on us. Okay, sure, no worries, we won't do that.
We promise.
We promise. And then what they do, they go to the neighboring country and strike up the same deal.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, they end up getting what they want.
Yeah, same thing. But it's just not obvious superficially that that's what's going on.
Yeah, they achieve what they want via another way.
Well, it's like the Greeks not willing to sell directly to Ukraine their stock of artillery shells, but they'll sell them to the Czech Republic, who will sell them to Ukraine. And with the money from that, which is probably from America, they'll pay back the Greeks. But the Greeks can say, well, we're not selling them to them, you know.
Yes, and that happened, you know, the movie Blood Diamond.
Right.
So similar things were happening with diamonds. And if I need to remember the countries, Sierra Leone was one of the countries involved where blood diamonds were coming from, if I remember rightly. And then I think it was Clinton signed an executive order where diamonds couldn't be bought from there. And so Sierra Leone got around that by shipping them out of the country right next door. So it continued until then. They had to have a second executive order to prevent diamonds being bought from the country next door, which I can't remember the name of right now, but same thing.
All right, we're up against time for this Tech Tuesday, somebody's favorite show, Stephen. Apparently, I must get the name of our number one fan. So that's good to know. If you want to get in contact with the program, 2057 inbox at realitycheck.radio. Good to see you again. And next week, the dark web, or the next time we talk, the dark web.
The dark web, that's right.
Ooh,
it's not as spooky as you think.
Oh, okay.
It's just got a reputation. That's not.
It's got a reputation.
It's got a reputation.
Okay, until then, we'll see you in about a week, all right?
Sounds good. See you then.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.